Friday marks the start of the first ever Africa Drylands Week. Over the next 7 days, a gathering is being held in Dakar, Senegal, to discuss the challenges of desertification, biodiversity loss, and climate change on the continent. Taking part will be 100 scientists, as well as representatives from governments and international and civil society organizations from around the world. The UN Food and Agricultural Organization is one of the bodies taking part in the week. Lydia O'Kane spoke to Assistant Director of Forestry at FAO, Eduardo Rojas.
Well, the United Nations established years ago, together with the Convention to Fight Against Desertification, a date where the problematic of deserts and the enlargement of desert areas are focused, and this date is the 17th of June, where drylands are celebrated and activities to improve the situation in drylands are conducted. And in that sense, Africa, being the continent where most of the drylands of the world are located, namely the Sahara Desert, but not only that, also in the south and east there are other drylands, is celebrating a whole week of activities preparing for the International Day of Drylands, the 17th.
What are you hoping to highlight in particular?
Well, as you know, this year is also the International Year of the Forest, so this week I want to highlight the relevance, especially, of forests for dryland areas. We have had in the past a high attention to the rainforest in the tropical regions due to the relevance for biodiversity and carbon storage, and of course the temperate boreal forests of the northern countries of the developed world have also acquired attention due to their relevance. But little attention has been focusing on forests located in drylands, as they are as well very important for livelihoods, but mainly for the climate, for stopping the degradation of soils, for stopping desertification processes, for protecting soils, for short rainfalls that fall in this area normally are very violent, so for optimizing the water cycle and for all this, for biodiversity as well, as regardless, it is not so impressive, but it is there. And in that sense, the logic of this week is focusing on the relevance of forests for keeping these drylands in condition. We have to consider that 2 billion of the 7 billion people live in drylands. So in that sense, all environmental constraints in drylands are very important, and very little attention is given to these areas.
FAO has published a story and is producing a film about one particular project, one of this a successful project focusing on women, children vulnerable to food insecurity, and of course looking at different sites across Senegal and other African sites. Perhaps you could tell us a bit more about that.
Well, this project tried to show how directly by the recovery of forests, by planting and tending forests of acacia species, rural populations can get fodder, can get gums, can get firewood, can get shelter, can get lots of direct and indirect elements that may improve their livelihoods, their conditions, while on the same time keeping that last remaining forest that keep the desert of the Sahara moving southwards in the Sahel region. And in this example of the project we are mentioning in Senegal has been extraordinarily important. As well, these activities of tending and planting forests in those regions also create employment that assure that the population has sufficient financial means to for the daily survival, which is quite critical. In all these areas, we have had many forests were lost by grazing or by searching firewood. This firewood collection is also very time-consuming, and all these projects try to create forest and trees around villages so that the people don't have to search so long this firewood and have sufficient supply for the domestic need, as practically all the energy they use comes in this form.
How concerned should we be about desertification?
Well, desertification is a complex process. Climate change is exacerbating the problem, namely in Africa. But as well, there are human activities that have expanded the desert by unskilled agriculture, unskilled grazing activities, unsustainable firewood gathering. All these activities have expanded this desert broader. So we have in that sense, to act in all the range of activities by adequate landscape planning, recovery of former forested landscapes, using agroforestry models where certain shelter is assured, while agricultural production is as well possible. And of course, fighting against climate change, which is for sure the biggest threat these areas are facing. If rainfall reduces 20-30% and the temperature rises 2%, 2 degrees, in many Sahel areas or savanna areas of Africa, living conditions will surely be practically impossible for populations. They will have to move, and then we will have either inter-African mobilization of people crossing borders, but as well the pressure, especially towards Europe, of emigration will be even worse in the sense of environmental emigration. So the best we can do is to fight against these historical damages in the region. Let's recall another dry country, Pakistan, last year, the big floods. Pakistan had traditionally, historically, 20-30% of forest in the past, especially in the mountains of the north. Today it has only 3-4%. And when the big rain starts, the monsoon rain starts in this time, in June, July, it is always creating big damages. Last year, extraordinary damages, because the mountains are totally eroded, but they were deforested hundreds of years ago. There has been goats, there have been fires going through, there has been firewood collecting, and now there is no kind of protection against these floods. So in that sense, restoring these historical damages of deforestation, and on the other hand, fighting against climate change as a global challenge for mankind, is the best contribution to reduce the risk of these areas.
You talked about fighting against climate change. There again, we come back to the same issue of what governments are prepared to do to fight against climate change. I mean, at this point, what are governments prepared to do?
Well, the different positions on a global scale. Next week there will be the substa of the Convention of Climate Change in Bonn, and so the motors are going to be heated up for the Durban Summit late November, early December. And they are relatively ambitious attitudes and positions from the European Union and other European states, including Russia. But it is unclear the commitment of other big players, especially those who didn't sign Kyoto, which are mainly India, China, and the U.S. If they come on board, an agreement will be possible. If not, then the Kyoto signatory countries will have to have a new protocol, a bridge protocol for the remaining time. And in that case, an overall agreement will most likely take 3, 4, or 5 years to be achieved.